This morning, looking at the use of salt and saltiness in the life of the Christian, it's just amazing that in God's creation, He can draw from anything in creation to teach the lessons and the realities and truths of His choosing. He often does that. Take, for example, the ant. Have you ever watched an ant? You see this little creature that constantly is at work. Ants move, they move with purpose. They carry food many times their own weight. They travel back and forth in organized paths, gathering and storing what they need for the future. And nobody stands and gives the ants orders. They cooperate together. They prepare ahead. They do not waste the season of opportunity. The ant is so tiny. Yet, its quiet industry is remarkable. By simply observing an ant or ants at work, we are actually confronted with a powerful lesson. Diligence, foresight, and steady work that leads to provision and life. This lesson is exactly what the book of Proverbs teaches us again and again. The subject of diligence and its negative opposite, laziness, is a major theme in the book of Proverbs. It comes up again and again. So this evening we're going to look at this subject, but not from just one passage. Let's say it'll be a thematic consideration of the subject. Why is it so important? Diligence and laziness. Well, because they touch every area of our lives. They reveal the kind of character that we are. They impact relationships, affect livelihoods, influence physical well-being, and they affect spiritual life greatly. They determine how we use or how we waste life, abilities, and resources that God has entrusted to us. In short, diligence matters because of stewardship and accountability to God. Laziness affects everybody around us. I don't know if you've seen and experienced that. Our families, our communities, those who are under our care, and it leads to poverty and hardship and disorder. While diligence produces provision, stability, honor. Diligence reflects also the character and the wisdom of God. But slothfulness reflects folly and spiritual disorder. Productivity and diligence is not merely a human invention, although so many people who aren't even believers see the value in these things. No, they are part of God's design for life at creation. God commanded mankind to be fruitful and to multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Genesis 1 verse 28. Humanity was appointed by God as stewards to cultivate and rule over creation. Even after the fall, when sin entered into the world, God declared that from then on, man, by the sweat of their brow, will earn their living. Work remained necessary. Productivity essential, though it would from then on involve toil. Diligence and laziness, they are deeply practical, but also deeply spiritual at the same time. They reflect our service to God. our accountability to Him, and it reveals the condition of our hearts. Scripture calls believers to be diligent. We are called to be diligent. Jesus urges us to strive to enter through the narrow door of salvation. The apostles repeatedly exhort believers to make every effort in the Christian life. The apostle Paul commands, or Peter commands, that we should add diligently to our faith, goodness and knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness and love. We should make the most of the opportunities that we are given in this present evil time, so that we will be found blameless and at peace with God at the day of His coming. Because diligence and laziness affect our earthly but also our spiritual lives, Proverbs is given to us as a gift to examine ourselves. It's like a mirror, so we can test ourselves to identify whether we are slothful and commit ourselves to live faithfully, wisely, and diligently before God. But before we go further, what is diligence and laziness? Proverbs chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 gives us a clear description of both diligence and laziness. We read there, "A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son that brings shame." In the book of Proverbs, the lazy person is often called a sluggard. He is one who sleeps when he is supposed to work. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, describes him like this: "The sluggard, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest." It's actually a well-known refrain in the book of Proverbs. Maybe you've heard it many times. He always tells himself, the sluggard, "I just need a little bit more rest. Just a little longer." But that little keeps being continued on, and keeps him from doing what he ought to be doing. By contrast, the wise and the prudent son works when it's time to work. He gathers in summer, like the ant that we saw in Proverbs chapter 6 earlier on. The diligent person takes responsibility and he prepares for what lies ahead. In fact, Proverbs even describes the diligent as the upright and the righteous. So the contrast is very clear between the two. Laziness leads to poverty. Diligence leads to provision. The sluggard wants results, but he's not willing to work for them, while the diligent labors faithfully and in time receives the reward. So much for the diligent and the lazy. But tonight we are going to undertake the lazy man's worst nightmare. What is that? The lazy man's test. The lazy test. Now, this is not a test of knowledge or one's ability. It is spiritual and practical self-examination. For the laziness test to be biblical, it must examine all of life. Not just one part. Many people, for example, work very hard in their careers and they pour out their energies on their jobs, yet their walk with God and their family life, their spiritual growth, their service and their stewardship to God is failing dismally. Proverbs teaches us that diligence in stewardship needs to encompass all of life. So when we take a test like that, we need to consider at least five key areas in our lives. Firstly, our spiritual life. This concerns our state of soul and our walk with God. Then also, of course, work and vocation. It refers to how faithfully we perform the tasks and the responsibilities that God has given to us in our daily work. But then also, family responsibilities. This involves caring and providing for those whom God has placed under our care. It also involves our use of time. This examines how we spend the hours that God has given to us. And then, of course, lastly, our service and our stewardship to God. This concerns how we use the gifts, the resources, and the opportunities that God has given to us. True diligence means faithfulness to God in all these areas of life. Now, we will probably all flunk this test, but we can take heart. Because there is a note of humor in these tests that will hopefully prod the sluggard into action. Are you ready for the test? You'll find the test paper by turning to Proverbs chapter 26, verses 13 to 16. We read there, "The sluggard says, there is a lion in the road. There's a lion in the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. It wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly." Notice in these verses, we are given a portrait of the sluggard. Each one of them highlights different traits of the lazy person. The sluggard firstly makes excuses. Secondly, he lacks initiative. Thirdly, he refuses effort. And fourthly, he justifies his behavior. So look out for Mr. and Mrs. Lazybones as we take the test by looking at each one of these traits. So, test question number one. The sluggard makes excuses. Have a look at verse 13 of chapter 26. The sluggard says, "There's a lion in the road, there's a lion in the streets." So here the sluggard may not be doing much work, but he is hard at work thinking up excuses. How can I possibly go outside when there is a lion in the streets? Now, it is highly improbable that there is actually a lion, but he convinces himself that it is real. "I'm not lazy," he says. "I'm just being realistic. I'm facing the facts." But Solomon never says that there's actually a lion in the streets. Only the sluggard says so. A typical example, people would say, "Well, life is too complicated. And I am too busy to focus on the things that God calls me to do. I just need to finish things and get through this season, and then I will focus on the Lord." How can I possibly prioritize the things of God and God's will right now and work out what it is that God wants me to do in this season? If I step out there and I follow God's will, I will be a train wreck. I am not in the right headspace to do that right now. It is too hard. It is not the right time for me. I am not ready. But if God calls you to seek Him now, your excuse is like saying there's a lion in the streets that will destroy you if you obey God. Yet, God is stronger than a lion. He who calls you to act will also protect you when you are acting, obeying His voice. When we delay obedience, we forget His promise that His protecting presence will go with us. People give endless excuses not to come to Christ. I'm too young or too old. I'm too busy. I'm unsure. I'm doubting God. I'm doubting the Scriptures. I'm troubled by suffering. Often, these aren't mere excuses. They really reveal a sluggish heart, unwilling to obey God. May I ask, are you making excuses? Do you delay faith, repentance, prayer, and dealing, for example, with a family matter that you need to deal with? Serving in the church or doing your work because it feels inconvenient or too hard? Are the lions in your path real or just excuses to avoid responsibility? The sluggard makes excuses. Test number two. The sluggard lacks initiative. Proverbs 26 verse 14 observes, as a door turns on its hinges, so does the sluggard on his bed. Now, picture a door attached to its frame. It is opening and then it is closing back and forth, but it goes nowhere. So the sluggard seems to be glued to his bed. He rises a little and then he flops back down. A little sleep and a little slumber. There is motion, but there is no progress. Typical example. You see an opportunity to help someone, or serve in the church, for example, or grow in the faith, or repair a strained relationship, but you never act. You think, well, I should pray more. I should encourage that person. I should deal with that issue. Yet, the moment passes and nothing happens. Good intentions only remain intentions. The sluggard is not always inactive. Actually, he may be quite busy. Busy, avoiding the very things that he ought to do. He says, I will do it. On one fine day I will. And so, because of procrastination, that fine day never comes. Empty religious talk without obedience is like that door that swings on its hinges back and forth. It goes nowhere. This typifies the sluggard's lack of drive. Well, I cannot come to church. I can't study the Bible or discuss the gospel because I'm too tired in the evenings. I'm no good in the mornings. I find it too hard to follow. In truth, he is simply lazy. He may have a very fit body, but he has an undisciplined mind. Ask yourself, am I always moving but never acting? Am I delaying spiritual growth, responsibilities, or service? When will I rise when God calls me to do so? Initiative requires action, not just good intentions. The sluggard lacks initiative. Test number three. The sluggard refuses effort. Proverbs 26, verse 15, paints a humorous but sobering picture. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. It wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. Imagine him sitting there before his food. His hand is reaching out into the bowl, but somehow he can't find the strength to put the food in his mouth. He would rather go hungry than exert himself. This image shows laziness at its extreme. The sluggard refuses effort, even when it is for his own good. Spiritually, the same thing happens. A person may show interest in the faith, but when effort is required, and it is required, repentance, prayer, discipline, obedience, he quickly loses interest. Yet, Scripture repeatedly calls us to diligence, as I mentioned earlier. Jesus says, strive to enter the narrow door. Make every effort to pursue peace and unity and spiritual growth. But the sluggard quickly shifts from "I won't" to "I can't," trapping himself in inaction. A typical example: you begin doing things for God that He calls you to do, but when distractions or difficulties come up, like social media or entertainment or busyness or discouragement, you stop altogether. Does that sound familiar? Perhaps you begin reading the Bible, but then the habit fades. You begin serving others, but then that becomes inconvenient. And then you begin to withdraw. Tasks are started, but they are rarely finished. When we do this, we are acting like the sluggard. We are bringing nourishment to our mouths, and then we're stopping and saying, "I'd rather starve than eat food for my soul." Ask yourself, or we need to ask ourselves, do we begin things with enthusiasm and then we abandon them when they require effort? Do small responsibilities overwhelm us? Are we unwilling to invest energy in prayer, in scripture, in work, in family responsibilities, in serving others? The sluggard refuses effort. Test number four, the last test. The sluggard justifies his behavior. Proverbs 26, verse 16. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. The lazy person defends his excuses. Not even seven godly men who are clear thinking can convince him. His sloth makes perfect sense to him. Being convinced of the soundness of his thinking, he places himself outside of counsel. This happens in everyday life. Somebody refuses to take advice at work, avoids responsibilities at home, dismisses counsel from godly friends or from church leaders. Spiritually, pride blocks repentance and obedience. Typical example: I don't need to be diligent right now. I deserve time for myself, and I need to relax. Of course, now, to rest is good and it is necessary, and God has designed rest. But laziness often disguises itself as rest. The sluggard retreats into a comfortable world where his reasoning always justifies his neglect. So ask yourself, do I defend my lack of effort? Do I resist wise advice? Do I convince myself that my neglect is reasonable? Well, that is exactly what the sluggard does. So Proverbs chapter 26, verse 13 to 16, paints the portrait of the sluggard, making excuses, avoiding effort, justifying inaction. Now, if we recognize any of these traits in ourselves, Proverbs gives us a simple instruction. Go to the ant. Go to the ant. Look at that tiny creature. He is no commander, no overseer. He works diligently and prepares for the future. By instinct, he knows the season of opportunity must not be wasted. So in summer, it gathers its food for winter. Isn't that a humbling lesson? God directs us to look at a creature that is so tiny and so many of them can fit on our hand. The ant doesn't make excuses, doesn't delay action, and doesn't refuse effort. It doesn't justify laziness. It simply works steadily and faithfully, making the most of the time that it has. This is the flavor of biblical diligence. It means seeking God first and growing in Christ-likeness. It means working responsibly and caring for our families, using our time wisely, and serving others with the gifts and the resources that God has given to us. The diligent person will take the initiative. Persevere through difficulty. Remain faithful, both in spiritual and practical responsibilities. Laziness leads to poverty and loss. But diligence leads to wisdom and provision. So let us learn diligence from the ant. Just to close with some practical application, the first is this. To be a sluggard, I'm sure we will all agree, is not a good thing. The devil will very quickly find work for idle hands to do. And that involves getting them busy in mischief and sin that will ruin their own souls. Idle people tempt the devil to tempt them. Today's culture encourages spiritual sluggards by the dozens. And the devil uses laziness very effectively, doesn't he? By offering us instant information, entertainment, gratification, to divert and distract us, even when we have good intentions to follow God. Also, being idle, as we have seen, involves physical and spiritual poverty and loss. Oh, the missed opportunities, the wasted time. Missed opportunities for growth and ultimately spiritual ruin. Proverbs 13 verse 4 captures it actually powerfully. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. Being lazy and have good intentions is not enough. It's not going to get anybody across the line. It won't save anybody. The soul of the sluggard, the Proverbs is saying, will get nothing. It is often said that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Secondly, God expects us to be diligent. The parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 30, teaches us to be diligent. In that parable, you might remember, there are the two servants that are entrusted with 5 and 2 talents. And they act immediately and diligently, and they multiply them. And then they receive praise and reward. But then there is the servant that received 1 talent. And he buried it, excusing his inaction with fear. And he was condemned. He is even called a wicked and slothful servant. God calls us to act and to use what he has entrusted to us. So let us be diligent. Be diligent with our own lives, in our families, with our children. The time and the resources that God has given to us. Actually, it is really helpful to look at God himself when we think of the subject of diligence. God is never lazy. From creation to salvation, his work is purposeful, consistent, and what God starts, he completes in full. Let that serve as a model for us. Maybe you've been listening to the message tonight, and you have to admit, after taking that test, I am a sluggard. Actually, I am an unbelieving sluggard. And you're asking, what should I do? Well, Jesus invites all the weary, the idle, the neglectful of their own soul, and those who are burdened by their own sins, to trust in him. While you have been idle, he was not. When he died on the cross, he declared, "It is finished." He finished the job that he had started through diligence and obedience to the very end. And so by Jesus' death and resurrection, Christ is offering to unbelieving sluggards new life and power to raise them up so that they can follow him in faithful diligence and obedience. Lastly, why should we be diligent? Well, is it in order to be successful? To feel good about ourselves? Or to be complimented by other people? Why be diligent? Actually, for a Christian, it is a matter of stewardship. If you are a Christian, your life is not your own. You have been bought by a price, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your time, your priorities, your gifts, none of it belongs to you. Everything is his, and his priorities are yours. And that's not a burden. It actually is the best possible calling. Dear Christian, God has created you and saved you to glorify him. He has called you and entrusted you to be faithful in your spiritual walk with God, in your work, in your family, with your time, and all the resources that God has given to you. Through faithful stewardship, you honor him in all things. Well, may the Lord help us each one in diligence and to avoid slothfulness and laziness of any sort.